This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. We're glad you joined us in this Course in Miracles, and we're excited at a discovery of a prospect. You're actually hearing us, and you're beginning to enjoy the light and love that has become a certainty in your relationship. It's amazing to see that as you previously treaded your timid way in the idea that there was a world out there that could actually tell you who you were, that you never liked anyway, you're discovering to your amazed enjoyment that everything was only contained within you. And as you begin to assert yourself from the forgiving element of you, the joy in you increases. Scripture means a whole idea about yourself. And obviously, we're teaching the message of Jesus Christ to you, aren't we? We're showing you within your, what you call, biblical book, truth, gospel of good news, you are finding the solutions because now's the time and place where you found them. The greatest healer that has ever penetrated the idea of space-time, the idea that you could actually be confined in this little hovel of nothingness, was your identity of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I might as well show it to you a little bit. Now, this comes from my own illumination and my own certainty. Whether you choose to hear of your own perfection does not concern me, because the time will come, and did, where you recognize that the power of your mind to decide you didn't want the faculty that caused you to lose the things that you love, that caused you to have to represent yourself in time as something that you're not, you no longer want. Say to me, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I know you are. That's how I see you. That's how we recognize each other, in an idea that the very fundamental offering of Jesus was to show us that there was a correspondence in the nature of man that transcended the idea that we would be in conflict with each other. Say to me, there's no such thing as conflict. Yeah. If there is only a single mind of love that extends forever, how could conflict exist? Huh? How could it be that contained within an idea of separation, there could not be a moment of truth? We intend to revive interest in the teachings of Jesus, very simply because of the continuing misunderstanding of his fundamental teachings of love and forgiveness that are totally disconnected from the idea that you must seek revenge from your enemy. Now, I know that in your revengeful mode, it's very difficult for you to see that at this instant, if you chose, you could invite your enemy, you could invite anyone that's occurring within your own mind to come and join with you in the certainty of who you are. The idea of the necessity to interpret Scripture is what causes the fundamental problem. But it's very understandable in my mind that the necessity to interpret is a part of the procedure of the conceptual mind. That is, to analyze what Jesus says rather than simply utilize it in the power of his mind. What I want to do with these videos, and this comes from Jesus, since everything that I'm offering you comes from his mind, is to get you to look with a new perspective, okay, about what he actually says to you. When he says that forgiveness will allow you to instantly depart this world, he means it, and I mean it in a literal sense. All you would have to do is accept any single moment of the certainty of his mind that you are already resurrected, and you first would increase the experience of it in the sharing of the joy of it. And then in a bright new moment, you would suddenly look around you and begin to see all of the other projections of your own mind that were waiting for you to find the solution. Did you know that? Are you aware now in the new continuum that you're beginning to run into objective associations where you look at each other and you say, don't I know you from somewhere? Huh? Of course you do. Shall we practice? Say to me, it's impossible to meet a stranger. Yeah. If everyone is only a projection of your own mind, the particulars of your own mind in the forgiveness through the agency of love of Jesus will be very simple for you. I want to stay with you just for a moment, and then we'll read a little more scripture from the Course in Miracles. When you enclose the idea of a recalcitrant association in the rigidity of a, a Sadducee idea of Scripture, the idea that there's one truth and everyone must come to know that one truth as though somehow it's objective, is literally not what Jesus teaches. Would you like an example of a variation in Scripture that, while it doesn't add to anything particular, it would be the truth of what Jesus actually said? Perhaps you haven't seen the Aramaic translation of the Bible. We use the King James Version because the King James Version is beautiful and it's true. And everything that it says is true, but it's always open to what? Interpretation. Let's look. This beautiful little book is the Aramaic translation of the Bible done by George Lumpsa, is his name. And the attention that he draws translating from Aramaic, and he thought in Aramaic, and he spoke in Aramaic, where variations were contained. I'll give you just a simple example of it. Maybe it'll stir you to a little scholarship. In the biblical reference that Jesus makes to the rich man, he says, a rich man, and this is, I'm just quoting here at loose, a rich man has as about as much a chance to enter the kingdom of God as a camel has in getting through the eye of a needle. And everybody can immediately see that since the camel has no chance to get through the eye of a needle, neither will a rich man be able to get to heaven. Let's improve that through looking at what the translation actually says. What Jesus actually said at that time is that a rich man has about as much chance as entering the kingdom, okay, as a thick rope has of being passed through the eye of a needle. Now, when that's explained in the Aramaic, it's expressed that the word for camel and the word for rope are the same. But how much more value there is in the analogy that a rich man would represent a rope that's trying to pass itself through a needle. That's the kind of thing that I enjoy. I enjoy the idea that there's another way to look at it. Okay? I enjoy the idea, if I am perforce going to have to admit the necessity to forgive my enemy for what I think he did, which was impossible in my mind because I had no intention of forgiving, that I could learn in a continuing revelatory re-identity of myself what forgiveness really is. And I could come to know, first of all, that I was only forgiving myself, not my enemy. And secondly, to my joy and happiness, that there was nothing to forgive. Okay, these are the references of the Aramaic translation. I'll give you one more because it's fun to look at. Sermon on the Mount, which is one of the great procedures that I use to teach love, isn't it? How to love your enemy and forgive him. There was a particular in one of the admonitions of Jesus that always bothered me, and that was, shall I tell you, blessed are the poor in spirit. While I knew it was necessary that you would have to be humble, the idea that you would be poor in spirit had no appeal to me until I discovered, to my amazement, that the translation is actually, okay, blessed are those who are poor in pride. The misnomer that occurred in the translation of spirit or ego spirit or credential, okay, represented itself actually in Aramaic as pride. So that what Jesus actually says, the less pride that you take in your human identity, in the need to defend yourself, the richer you'll be in the kingdom of God. Is that all right? I enjoy doing it. You're going to be entertained very soon with the urtext of A Course in Miracles. What it's going to be is a complete historic reference of how the voice began to speak to what's her name, Helen Schuckman, and how he described his association of 2,000 years ago with what's going on now. And much to our delight, the scholars of conceptual mind are going to have to look at the possibility that the speaking of that voice in this Course in Miracles and in the New Testament are one and the same as he says they are. If you'll invite me and those of us who are proclaiming at our healing center here in the Dells of the certainty that you lay down your defenses and join in aggregation with us of the harmony of truth and love that we can find on our in our own relationships, because that's where it is. It's not somewhere else. Is it scriptural? It's completely scriptural. I want to read you just a little bit more about the first person scripture that occurred in the other video that we did as an indication of the healing possibility that's within us at this moment. We've come together and this video is still representing my certainty of the power of our minds through love to heal the sick and to raise the dead. But listen to what Jesus has to say about the correspondence that you have found within your own mind that's not true. Look. Here's what Jesus said, didn't he? I am the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and when you see me, it will be because you've invited him. For he will send you his witness if you will but look upon them. Remember always that you see what you seek, for what you seek you will find. The ego finds what it seeks and only that. It does not find love, for that is not what it is seeking. Yet seeking and finding are the same, and if you seek for two goals, you'll find them. What an amazing idea. If you have an idea of hatred in your mind, you will hate what you see. If you have an idea of love in your mind, you will love what you see. Why? Cause and effect are not actually apart. If you're the cause of this, why not cause love rather than hate? One thing for sure, if you're going to get back what you give away, and this is as fundamental as Jesus ever gets, I would suggest that you decide to love rather than hate, because if you hate, you're going to get it back. You like this biblical sentence? As you met, you will be measured. As you judge, you will be judged. What goes around comes around. What you give away, you're going to get back. I love the idea that you can accept the joyous decision of, say to me, the hell with it. Huh? And I went through this because nobody hated his enemies more than I did. I could show you rages within my own mind that justified every evil act that ever been done. I would feel moments of gratification in my finding of revenge, only be continually disillusioned because I didn't really feel satisfied with what I had found. Little confession going on there. Seek ye first the kingdom, and everything else will be known. If you seek something else within space-time, how can you find the kingdom? You've locked and closed the door to the idea that present with us, now, physically, in this time and place, in the idea of particle-wave associations of light energy, is a complete conversion to the illusion that previously represented us. Let's read just a little more of this scripture. I said before that what you project or extend is up to you, but you must do one or the other, for that is a law of mind, and you must look in before you look out. And if you look in, you choose the guide for seeing, and then you look out and behold his witnesses. This is why you find what you seek. Why? What you want in yourself, you will make manifest, and you will accept it from the world because you put it there by wanting it. When you think you are projecting what you do not want, it is still because you do want it. What an amazing idea. Okay? The idea of actual projection of the conceptual mind, okay, is impossible because the extension of the universe is what you are in the association. if you project something from your mind because you don't want it, it actually is because you want it, because you want to use it in your ideas of what constitutes this body form to justify the body form itself. Practice. Ideas leave not their source. Say it to me. Yes, every idea that you've ever had in your mind concerning what you want to see within your own association with yourself is present with you now. Now, you may not like them, but you may have to call on them eventually, okay, in order to justify your continuation of a grievance. Will you look with me now just for a moment at what a unforgiving thought does to you? You take that unforgiving thought, and it's one that you're going to call on whenever you need it. That way, as soon as you see someone out there somewhere deep within you, okay, you hold a vengeance against him, even though it may not be evident in the correspondence that you find with each other. And that includes the idea that you love one another. There is no human consciousness that walks this earth that does not contain within him very deeply a seething hatred, a need for justice, okay, to show him why he should be confined to this little hovel of nothingness. The solution that I am offering you now in this time and place is to take that seething of not being able to find the solution. Let it build in you to a point of intolerance, then ask for help. When you can no longer stand within yourself the idea of the rage that you feel, I can show you how to take that rage against God and convert it to an emotional realization of the passion that we share together in love. This is your manifestation of a quantum instant alternative within the body form that you use to represent yourself. Listen to just one more paragraph. All right, now from Jesus once more. What you want in yourself, you will make manifest, and you will accept it from the world because you put it there by wanting it. When you think you are projecting what you do not want, it is still because you do want it. This leads directly to disassociation, for it represents the acceptance of two goals, each perceived in a different place, separated from each other because you made them different. The mind then sees a divided world outside itself, but not within. This gives it an illusion of integrity and enables it to believe that it is pursuing one goal. Yet as long as you perceive the world as split, you are not healed. For to be healed is to pursue one goal because you have accepted only one and want but one. I'm going to show you how that works objectively just for a moment. I think I did it on the other video. You see out of this eye and you see out of this eye. You can do that if you want to. It's a conceptual organization of your own mind. You integrate the separation within your own mind and set up an objective idea of mind form based on that image and that image. What a strange thing to do. Now, what have you done? You've objectified your own mind. This is John 1 in the Bible, where he says the blind really don't see anything. All they see is reflections of their own split mind. What did Jesus admonish you about this? He says, why are you worried about the splendor in your brother and try to put the splendors together when the difference is occurring in the beam of your own eye? Okay? If you'll recognize and bring together a reproduction of light of one brother, the two brothers outside of you will come together in your own mind, in your light, in the light of your eye, and suddenly you'll see him as a single association with yourself. Can you imagine what happens then? You'll have to become whole because you can't stay separate from each other because you're not separate from each other. So now between you at that moment that you bring that together may be the light and love of the Jesus mind. What did he say to you? Where two or more are gathered, I will be there to represent a new correspondence of love that we find with each other. Now, I'm speaking of this not in the rhetoric of some sort of scripture in mind. I'm talking about the physical evidence that it's possible for you to experience right now and what we can define as healing. Can you see this with me? We're going to read you just one more paragraph. Listen. All right, here we go. When you want only love, you will see nothing else. The contradictory nature of the witnesses you perceive is merely the reflection of your conflicting invitations. You have looked upon your mind and accepted opposition there, having sought it there. But do not then believe that the witnesses for opposition are true, for they attest only to your decision about reality, returning to you the messages you gave them. Love, too, is recognized by its messengers. If you make love manifest, its messengers will come to you because you invited them. Now, our first hour about the idea that we can love each other in totality is going to be over in just a moment. I want to review in just a moment the conceptual idea that you're beginning to have an experience of the acceptance of a single mind that we're sharing together. It should be obvious to you that what the scripture says to you, and this is from Jesus, if you hate one brother and try to love another brother, you have split in your mind the idea of an enemy and a friend. When you do that, your mind sees an association of what? Say to me, both an enemy and a friend. Huh? All of your friends and all of your neighbors and everything you see in the projection of your own mind is both an enemy and a friend, and conceptually you know it. But you keep trying to organize within your own mind a judgment between what you want and what you don't want, or what you may want a moment from now, but you don't want now. This is the illusion of the possibility of an integration of objective association in the wave light energy. What I'm trying to show you, let's do quantum for a minute. What I'm trying to show you that if you organize your mind in separations objectively, you can combine the idea of judgment, of hate and love, and represent a figure. This is quantum now. This is the uncertainty principle. But the moment you would try to see him in his entirety, he will disappear simply because what you're seeing is no longer what you are, and your mind is split. I hope you can see this with me. Now you look through a mirror darkly. Paul in Corinthians says, the reflection that you're getting of yourself that represents what you think your neighbor is not true. Can you see this with me? And the first thing we're going to do when we come back in the second half hour is I'm going to read to you what Paul says about the possibility of an instant of communication. We're going to read just to you a moment about a great mystery that you can see in the bright harmony that we have found and the love that we're extending. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind that we use to think with. So let's say it together, and I'll see you in just a moment. God bless us together, everyone. This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. We're back together with you now, and apparently you have sown enough love to be able to begin to reap. And I'm staying with the New Testament. This is A Course in Miracles, and the mind training of the idea that there was a new you contained within yourself, you are beginning to expose. Will you share this with me? You were guilty about yourself and very fearful of actually showing you the world who you thought you were. Now you ran in to the sharing of love through forgiveness, where you're able to see that I have positively no concern about what you thought you were. You're not guilty of anything. The only thing you could possibly be guilty of is your own conceptual identity about yourself. And indeed, if you are guilty of that, you will represent yourself as being separate from the kingdom of God, which is what you are. There is one life, and that we share with God. There's one eternal extension of love that you are, despite your determination to represent to me that little particle wave identity of self-containment, okay, that you actually don't want to be at all. And since you don't want to be it, you have projected it from yourself, it immediately begins to divide itself up in an infinite number of form-light ideas, very simply because they have no source of reality. The source of your true reality is contained deep within you, and it is not flesh. And as Jesus tells us, and certainly as Paul, the great post-resurrection apostle, who Jesus gave direct attention to in his determination to stop persecuting me, teaches to the necessity for an instant communication that's possible in the light. Here's the paragraph, we know it very well. Let's try to look at it in a different way, just for this moment. Listen carefully. For as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also, what? Bear the image of the heavenly. Could you hear that? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And I know you're very happy to hear that. Why? Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. When? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we bring to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I love it. I love that writing from Paul to the Corinthians. It is virtually the same idea that you as Christians write to each other within your churches in the determination that you are beginning to have experiences of the resurrection of your mind and body through the grace of God coming from the Saviorship of Jesus Christ. Now, a miracle is nothing but what? Being shown a mystery. Now, when you're shown a mystery doesn't mean that you can explain it. It means that you've been shown the entirety of the mystery of why you would be occupying this little hovel of space-time and trying to find life here. Are you listening to me? This is not what life is. I'm going to do some quick healing here. I promised some of the viewers that are beginning to really enjoy the scripture that I'm offering, that, and particularly you right there that wrote that letter to me, asking me to relieve you of that burden. And I intend to do it. And I intend to do it by showing you the mystery of eternal life. Let's look together at the offering that I'm going to give you now. You came into our presence here now together with us, and I'm going to give you the surety, look at me, that who you thought you were, you're not. Now, if I am certain that we share together in this moment of love the entirety of the realization of the love of God, why would you be concerned about the sickness? Remember what we said to you, what Jesus says to you? That sickness that you suffer from is a decision that you have made. It's very difficult for you to look at it as a sickness and be able to recover from it. Because the idea you could recover from the sickness allows you to maintain within your own mind that's a remedy for what you suffer from. Now, I am with you at this moment, showing you in the new light of love that you are healed and perfect as you were created. This is for many of you now who have written and asked for specific relief from the suffering, the intense pain, and the loneliness that you've been feeling. Let's share it together. Let's use Jesus' mind. There, let's use the light and the love that we share so that instantaneously the idea of what you wrote me about is relieved. Now, don't try to escape the idea of the pain. There, that was better. Just let it be there for a moment. Then you can make the decision that you don't want to suffer simply by including it in with the thought forms of your own mind. Your attempts to escape pain will not succeed because you are the cause of the pain and you are using the idea of that cancer, the idea that you are sick, to justify your association separate from what you are. Okay? This form of healing is a realignment of you in your body. This is the practice healing that Jesus performs in the New Testament and asks you to perform with him now in the certainty that the power of your mind to heal our association with each other, okay, is available to you at this time and place. Are you listening? It has nothing at all to do with your old references of your body. It has nothing at all to do with where you find yourself in that hospital bed or in that nursing home or in that office or walking around in the idea that you can suffer from this illusion. It's a connection that was always available to you. Remember what we just read? That will instantly show you a difference in how you view yourself in relationship with the things that appear to be around you. Now, what does this actually do? What does Jesus say it does when he offers healing to a very distressed one who's been lying at the pool at Bethesda? He says, the man says to him, I can never get into the water to be healed because everybody else jumps in. Jesus says to him, don't worry about that. You have waited long enough so that your expectation has increased to the point where your faith can be represented in the entirety of the solution. He said, don't worry about that. He uses a particular sentence. He says, pick up your pallet and walk. He doesn't say, leave yourself on the ground where you were. He said, pick up the ground too. Pallet in the Aramaic, I believe, is translated, interestingly enough, as quilt. The idea that he has a quilt with various patches of time is exciting in the prospect of the scripture. I mean to do that. You see that? So when I offer you my certainty of the healing that just occurred there, it includes what? Your time mind as well as the space. So if your body is space, and it's just a molecular association that really doesn't exist at all, see how great the healing moment of light can be to you. What happens to the disease? It's gone. Does it require recognition in how it left? That would be the increasing idea that somehow you used your conceptual mind to bring about the healing. That's not true. The healing of the love of God is going on around you all the time. This is directly from Jesus. The restrictions you place on your own mind are what are denying you the accessibility of the love that we share. Okay? So we've come together now to do what? Not judge each other. Feel the love and the freedom of a linking with the idea of eternal life that represents us. Just a little more now, one more paragraph from the scripture in which Jesus describes our relationships. Listen. The power of decision is your one remaining freedom as a prisoner of this world. You can decide to see it right. What you make of it is not its reality, for its reality is only what you give it. I hope you heard that. You cannot really give anything but love to anyone or anything, nor can you really receive anything but love from them. If you think you have received anything else, it is because you have looked within and thought you saw the power to give something else within yourself. Remember, it was only this decision that determined what you found, for it was the decision for what you sought. Listen, you are afraid of me, this from Jesus, because you look within and are afraid of what you saw. Yet you could not have seen reality, for the reality of your mind is the loveliest of God's creation. Coming only from God, its power and its grandeur could only bring you peace if you really looked upon it. If you are afraid, it is because you saw something that was not there. Yet in that same place, you could have looked upon me and all of your brothers in the perfect safety of the mind which created us. For we are there in the peace of the Father who wills to extend his peace through you. You talk about some scripture? What Jesus said in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, now become old and new in the new idea of our association, is that I will be with you until the end of time. He just repeated that in the scripture. He's deep within your own mind, offering you the entirety of the solution. He also represents to you your fear of him because you're afraid to be totally well, and you might as well look at it, man. I'd like you to look with the idea somewhere of what have you got to lose. There's no question that you believe in a conceptual self that you're going to get old and that you're going to suffer and that you're going to die. Yet you have to pretend to me that you'd rather do this than the offering that I'm giving you. Why not take a chance on love? Here I go again. Take a chance. I didn't mean to sing there. Can you see it? You've been singing love songs to each other for a very long time. Why not try to accept a little love that's deep within you, not based on the junk of the conceptual minds who are determined to distinguish between what love really is and what they think it is in their determination to continue to hate one another? Look at it with me. Conceptual minds, there's a big change going on now. for many of you heretofore, up until this moment, it has been a lot simpler to say, I hate him, I hate that, than it has been to say, I love you. I can heal you in an instant by taking away from you your need to hate yourself. The simple truth of the matter is the only thing you could really hate is how you feel about yourself. And the power of the decision to change your mind about how you feel is yours to make. And that's the offering of this divine scripture. Shall we look at it together? It's interesting that the healing that just occurred in the offering of the letters that I've been getting from you always involve faculties of forgiveness. The caretaker that's been with you there at your side for these moments or these years, offering the love that you share together in his determination to help you and to aid you and to offer you sympathy and a recuperation in the joy that you share in being together. All of that service is not wasted. We're going out into the world now, aren't we, taking this message of forgiveness? We're taking it to the United Nations. We're taking it to jails. We're taking it to nursing homes. We're taking it to corporate boards. And we're offering immediate solutions in the idea of the power to forgive. Okay? If the conflict is only contained in your split mind, anyone that you look at as a projection in your own mind is now offering you instantly the power of a new idea that will show you who you really are. Shall we do it together? Look at me. I have absolutely no concern about what you think you are, who you think you are watching this video, and most particularly, who you think I am presenting this video to you. I'm certain in the illumination of my mind that I'm sharing with you at this instant that this was an illusion of light form that lasted but for a moment within the aggregation of separation and has confined you to the idea of a black hole or a containment within a galactic association that is extending from you at this instant that can take you beyond this event horizon that is closing down on you and causing you to suffer. This is a particular kind of healing that's going on because I want you to accept the reasoning processes of our mind that show us that there is one power and that we share with creative reality, that there's one instant of truth contained within all of time. That certainty that the particle identification of the mass of separation will dissolve instantly if we can let it together. Now, in a particular sense, I intend to heal you, whether you like it or not, because there's no manner in which I intend, through the mind of Jesus Christ, to exchange with you our sickness. Your definition of yourself in the projections of your own mind have allowed you to see other sick and dying bodies outside of yourself, and they're not true. Every sick and dying body that you look at, getting old and dying and suffering, is nothing but a representation of your own mind in a determination to protect yourself from the inevitability of what he is experiencing. Forgive him. Forgive him for thinking that he could get old and die. Will you do this with me there now? Forgive me for my determination that I have no intention within my own mind to allow you to suffer from that disease. Right there. I have no intention of allowing you to suffer because I will not recognize it in our correspondence with each other. I can't recognize you as sick and old and die. I see you only as a glorious image All right. What did we read in Corinthians? First will be an image of corruption in particleization of our bodies that we hold together. Then what? We will become an image of light. There. So the light and love of those that are outside of you are being remembered within time association when moments of love were experienced. See if you can hear this with me. Those of you, some of you got on an elevator yesterday, I see that one. You were going up to the doctor's office to check on the x-rays that were taken about you. Standing next to you, if you can hear this with me, was a complete solution to your problem. An angel, if you want to call him that, who was offering you a solution so that when you went into the doctor's office, you would go in with a positive idea that you weren't sick. If this goes too far for you, I don't care. All around you are angels. All around you are people, if you want to take it down into the perspective of the reflection of you, who somewhere in time are offering you a re-aggregation of what's going to go on in the future. Do you remember this? All of time is really over anyway. If you take your old idea that you just got the report that you're sick or that you've just taken medicine or you're hiding from the truth, you project it into the future, what did I just read you? How could you not get the result of what you think the future is going to be based on what you have determined in the past? Look what you've done. You've enclosed yourself in a decision-making process that is not true. It is not true that you are occupying this body in time and space at this moment. It is true that you have come into a new aggregation of healing light. Release the defenses that you employed to project your fear into the future and thus live in the fear of that body and are beginning to feel a moment of joy and happiness that represents the healing process of the mind of Jesus. The scripture, the gospel, the good news that he is risen from this world is the offering that I am giving you in the bright light of illumination that occurred in my mind when Jesus said to me, "Recognize that I am with you, and I will show you at this moment that the bright light you can express deep within you is a light that you brought with you from heaven when you came into this aggregation of time." All right, you've been walking around with this light in you, searching for solutions that aren't out there. You're a stranger here and you know it. You don't belong here and you know it, okay? A human doesn't belong here and he knows it. The foxes have their burrows and the birds have their nests. What does Jesus say? The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. There is no place where in the aggregation of your mind you can find the solution in this world. So we're sharing together the beautiful scripture of the necessity for forgiving love in the forgiveness of the recognition that we share together, the freedom of mind that we have found at this time and place. Great healings now are going on around the world. The Christian healers, the ministers, how I love them. How I love those that are aggregating thousands of people. Suddenly they're having experience and the cynical ones are saying that's not true. Sometime I'm going to show you a video in my mind of what actually goes on every time somebody really wants to accept the idea that he's healed and perfect and that it has nothing at all to do with this world. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go because God is the mind with which we think. So we can say together in this moment of healing, in the recognition of our love, God bless us, everyone.